part of my mission was to reestablish like our family name, and it woke me up to this idea that I'm the author of my story, but do I have the courage to pick up the pen? Like, pick up the pen became this mantra in my life, which, because picking up the pen signified like I'm taking ownership, right? And we saved our marriage and took a stand for our family. And then I eventually create the Campfire Fact, and my wife and I are on a date one night, and we're helping these purpose-driven, mission-focused, heart-centered entrepreneurs like get really clear on what they stand for and put powerful language to it. And it's shaping like growth and culture and sales. And my wife and I are on a date, and I'm like, we should take our family through the Campfire Fact. And like so many things I suggest, she's like, what are you talking about, right? Like,
sounds like my house.
We're not a family. We're not a business. We're a family. I go, yeah, but I said, Melissa, even myself, I'm recognizing I am more intentional about my brand as an entrepreneur in my company and the culture in my business than I am about our family brand and like what we stand for. And like, there's no greater work.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome, everybody. We are in our transition zone between Zoom and Facebook. I want to thank you guys for hanging out with us today. We are trying something entirely new because that's kind of what I feel this week is all about. We're going to be live recording, that's what's happening right now, episode 163 of the Entrepology Podcast. So let's jump into that piece, and then I'm going to introduce you to my guest today. Here we go. Welcome, everyone, to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. So my guest today is hanging out with me live, which always happens when I'm recording, but never happens when I'm sharing with you. Chris Smith and I have been crossing paths for years, but only recently had the opportunity to really sit down and have a conversation and realize that we just have so many pieces in alignment. Chris's company, The Campfire Effect, works with a lot of practitioners and entrepreneurs to help them really delve into the story of who they are and how that transfers into the work and their brands out in the world. I'm so excited by what he is up to, and I think the challenges we're all uniquely facing today are an opportunity to unpack who we are in an unprecedented way. So Chris, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I love what you stand for. I love the community. I love that introduction. Like, talk about powerful story messaging. So I'm excited to be here.
Well, what I would love to do is, if can you just share with people who you are? What is your story, and why is this really this incredible work that you put out into the world?
Yeah. So first, as an entrepreneur, like, I believe that if you take a stand for your story, and I can talk more about what that means, but it's more than just creating a tagline, just as a hint. But like, if you really have the courage to take a stand for your story, that your story can be the greatest form of influence, the greatest thing you have to influence your mission, your message, and your movement to create the kind of income and impact you're capable of. And so this idea of your mission is the thing you feel called to do, the message, the thing you feel called to share, and the movement, the thing you feel called to lead.
Love it.
And it's answering that thing from a place of a calling, though, not just like marketing and branding and copy. It's like, no, the calling. And I think that belief for me was shaped early on by the fact that I was raised in a fifth generation Arizona ranching rodeo family. That's the painting on the back wall. There is my great grandmother, Ethel Gable. That's a picture of the Arizona desert. And so like, family means a lot to me. And I grew up around these blue collar cowboy storytellers. And I was fascinated with story and influence ever since I was little. In sixth grade, at the year in school assembly, I got least likely to be found in my seat as the award for the end of the year.
That's awesome.
Because I was always up telling stories and I was always getting in trouble. But I saw this ability to like articulate and communicate what you do in a way that's as powerful as what you actually do. And like, not feel like you're always falling short of that. Right. Like, and so that led me into sales, and I was really good in sales and business development. And then I realized that what it is that allowed me to be good at selling and business development was actually the thing that I really would discover that was like my calling in life, was to go teach this. And that became the foundation of the Campfire Effect. And so for me, I really stand for people unearthing their calling and like going and doing the thing they feel called to do and what's aligned with them, but not just in their life and their business, but also in their families.
Can we unpack that a little bit more? Because we had this with this opportunity to chat about this the other day, this idea of a family brand. Because I want to talk about the business piece. I think it's so relevant to people right now. But this notion of a family brand, just it struck a chord with me a few weeks ago. And then we were talking about it yesterday. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't not think of a better time to start to address this idea.
Yeah. So the context of this is, I'll see if I can share this without getting emotional. I always get emotional to share, but I was 19 years old and I was on a mission for my church. And I was sharing at that time, like the weight and the gravity of like our family's struggles for some reason when I was 19. And I think it was because I was away from my home. I was in upstate New York, place I'd never been, around people I'd never been. And just so I kind of all, I felt alone. And because what had happened up to that point in time, my family's, we'd experienced a tremendous amount of loss, a lot of struggles with, you know, addiction and mental health. And I was asking this leader in my mission, like, why has my family struggled so much? Like, why have we experienced so much loss? I'd lost one brother at that time. And he said, Chris, I don't know, but he said, I think that at one time it meant something to be a Smith. Like the name like carried something of value with it. And then something happened and the bubble got burst. And then it meant something else to be a Smith. And he said, and someday someone's going to have the courage to come along and take a stand for the name again and reestablish what it means to be a Smith. And the minute he said that to me at 19 years old, I was like, that's going to be me. I had no idea what that looked like. I didn't tell him that. I didn't tell anyone for years, but I had this like, and I even, you know, my wife, who's my hero and my best friend, like that was even a huge part of, and I didn't tell her at this time, but like my decision to marry her is because I could see us creating that together, like in a family and what we stood for. And so you fast forward, I lost another brother. I lost my oldest nephew. I lost a brother-in-law. I have a sister who's in prison right now. It's like the amount of loss and like struggles that our families faced, coupled with, we have five children now, but after our second son was born, we were separated and going to get divorced. Not like separated, going to work on it, like getting divorced. And with the amazing intervention of an amazing marriage counselor who was doing what he felt called to do.
Right.
And shared his authentic story. It woke me up to this idea of like remembering that part of my mission was to reestablish like our family name. And it woke me up to this idea that I'm the author of my story. But do I have the courage to pick up the pen? Like pick up the pen became this mantra in my life, which because picking up the pen signified like I'm taking ownership, right? And we saved our marriage and took a stand for our family. And then I eventually create the Campfire Fact, and my wife and I are on a date one night and we're helping these purpose-driven, mission-focused, heart-centered entrepreneurs like get really clear on what they stand for and put powerful language to it. And it's shaping like growth and culture and sales. And my wife and I are on a date and I'm like, we should take our family through the Campfire Fact. And like so many things I suggest, she's like, what are you talking about? Right? Like,
sounds like my house.
We're not a family. We're not a business. We're a family. I go, yeah, but I said, Melissa, I said, even myself, I'm recognizing I am more intentional about my brand as an entrepreneur in my company and the culture in my business than I am about our family brand and like what we stand for. And like, there's no greater work like of what's at stake. So we took our family through the Campfire Effect. We created what we called a family brand. I loved that. So I went and bought the domain familybrand.com, which is coming soon. And it's made a huge difference in our home. Like this intentional culture of like who we are, Smiths, and what we stand for. And so I just feel, I've always felt called to share with the world, Megan. And right now people are reaching out to us. The universe is like reaching out to us saying like, now is the time to support families. They need it more than ever. Mm-hmm. And so we created the Family Brand Facebook group this morning. Like all of you are welcome to join. We're going to be providing free resources. And like, we already have our first post up in there about a really fun thing to do. But anyways, you're going to have to cut me off because I could talk forever about
family. I won't cut you on. There's no rules. That's the beautiful thing.
So here's the core underlying belief about Family Brand. We believe that you can define what your family stands for or the world will.
Oh, you totally get chills.
No, you go.
I was going to say, I've already told my family that we are doing a family brand exercise on Friday, which is my chunk of time where I'm taking the kids because everyone's jostling kids right now with everyone being home. And I said, we're going to lay the foundation. Then on Saturday, when we're all together, we're going to start to work on this piece. So they're super excited, even though we have no idea what we're doing.
Perfect.
We're just leaning into it. Yeah, I love it.
And what's interesting is like, and when you take that stand for your family will become your greatest source of connection, love, and joy.
Right. Yeah, I love this idea too, that you really get to define your own unit. And that's I love the idea of legacy. I talk a lot about legacy. And it's I think as we start to do this work, this is the type of work your kids are going to do. This is the type of work your kids' kids are going to do. Like, this isn't a stand for your unit right now. This is a change and pivot in the trajectory of how you are going to operate for generations. And that's what's so powerful about it.
Yeah. It gives me chills. Like we just did like a little brand exercise for family brand. Like, I always get to take this through my own process. Right. And the one big promise, we're like, what's the promise we could absolutely make that we're certain that we could make? And it was that if you take this work serious, that if you do this process, that you will create a culture of love, joy, and connection in your home that will impact generations of your posterity. Like, that's what's at stake.
Yeah.
Right.
It's amazing. And it's a chance to break those stories, just like you talked about, because I think what's happened this week in particular, and this episode's going to come out in 2 weeks. So it's March 24th that we're recording this right now. I think people are confronting the baggage of limiting beliefs and stories they had previously told themselves. And I had a call with a practitioner, and she said to me, she's like, Megan, I can't do this. I'm not a technology person. And I said, yesterday you weren't a technology person, but today the technology has opened you up to thousands of people who need your care. Today you love technology. And she was like, oh, I'm like, you don't have a choice. This is, you have a new story about your relationship with technology, or you're going to miss out on being able to access people. So it's so powerful, the stories we tell ourselves, let alone the stories we tell the world. Cool. I frequently don't ask questions. I just talk. Now yeah. You get to do it.
What's amazing to me is, like, you know, we're all navigating these uncertain times with, you know, the best we know how, but I woke up in the middle of the night here last week, and I just had this download, like, create two trainings. And the names just came to me. One was how to share your message in times of uncertainty. And one was how to lead in times of uncertainty. And we've delivered several of them last week. We delivered several of them this week. I just got off one. And they're making a profound difference for people. And here's what I believe. It's never been more important in the history of the world that families, organizations, and communities are telling their stories of who they are.
Yes.
And remembering who they are. Like, part of these trainings, all I'm doing is we're helping families and people remember, like, who they really are. Mm-hmm. And that they are people who can, like, they're powerful creators.
Like, which is the history. That's the history of storytelling. Like, storytelling was always the enabler of sharing who we are. What a powerful and perfectly positioned transition to move that to family. Chris, I want to talk about something else. I want to talk about this idea of calling, and I'm going to share with everybody how we're going to come back to this idea of the family brand as we get to the end of the interview. But you know, I work tremendously hard in a population of practitioners. And the thing that I think we're both drawn to in working with that population is these are incredibly passionate individuals whose work truly is emblematic of what they would call their calling in life. And right now we have a cohort of people who have suddenly had this tsunami hit them, and with great uncertainty about how they proceed with respect to their calling. I would love for you to speak to that, what it means to connect to calling, what it means to step up and lead in these uncertain times, because it requires a rapid pivot on their part, but it also requires a tapping into that inner piece, the why, the thing that drove them here in the first place. And I think it's a powerful challenge that'll make us stronger, but I'd love your perspective on it.
Yeah. Like, it's amazing that when I discovered the holistic healthcare practitioner community, or it discovered me, right? We started working with naturopathic doctors and functional medicine, regenerative medicine, like, I didn't know what any of those words meant, right? Like, I'm a cowboy, right? Like, and then when I go to my first conference and they're like, I make the joke that they're like putting charcoal toothpaste in my mouth and rubbing essential oils on me and telling me I have to wear vegan organic deodorant. I was like, who are these people? Right. And then I fell in love with them. Yeah. And then I fell in love with them because I was like, these people believe in calling more than anyone I've ever met in my life. Like, mm-hmm. They're not doing this because they think they should or they're supposed to as a great career. They're doing this because it was what they felt called to do.
Yes.
And this idea of, like, so my book is coming out. The subtitle of it is How to Unearth Your Calling. And the reason I chose those words of how to unearth is unearth means to discover something lost, hidden, or kept secret. So at one point in time, most of us had our calling and then we lost it. A lot of times because we got so spread thin and started trying to be all things to all people, we lost the calling. So a lot of times with healthcare practitioners, we're just reminding them of what they really feel called to do and who they really feel called to serve, and giving them the courage to go all in on only mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's been hidden from them because of old stories. old stories of guilt and shame and right. like they can't see it. And then, or it's been kept secret because of other people. So it's like, so I believe right now the world is starving for leadership. And I believe that your story and your message is the most powerful form of healing of leadership that could, that's available in the world right now. And it, and your story and your message is your declaration of leadership and who you're committed to being in a time like this and how you're going to show up. But here's what gets in the way. I started seeing this interesting link this past week between uncertainty and guilt and shame that I'd never seen before. And what I realized is that when there's a heavy amount of uncertainty around worry and fear and anxiety of the future, it brings up and creates a lot of shame and guilt around what should I have done or what could I have done to be better prepared for this situation. And I'm not. So I have all this guilt and shame because of the uncertainty. And it's like, there's, I can promise you there's no usefulness at the time like this in looking to your past for guilt and shame or looking to the future for fear and anxiety. So what we're encouraging our clients to do is I want all of you looking to the past right now for all of the times in your life where you faced something you didn't feel like you could overcome and yet you did because that's who you are.
Right.
Like I want you looking to the past for evidence to remind you of who you really are. I want you looking to the future for what you're committed to creating. And then I want you looking in the present for who you're committed to being right now and how you're going to show up as a leader.
I love this.
Because there is only freedom is only found in the present. There is no freedom found in the past or the future. They don't even exist. Like the only place life is ever happening is now. And that's what ownership of your story looks like as you pick up the pen and you're like, who am I going to be as the author now?
Yes.
Yeah. Like let's all have our 30 to 60 minutes of like worry and freak out. And let's get back to like owning like our, who we are as the authors. And just, and here's the thing. There's certain groups of people in our society that we look to as like stewards and protectors and leaders and guides, and healthcare practitioners at the top of the list.
Yes.
And I can promise you, your story can heal the world right now. And you, and any, but what I hear coming up for a lot of these healthcare practitioners we've been doing trainings to is like, well, I don't want to make it about me. And I don't know if I want to share about me. And I don't want to, it's like, look, we got to get over that. It's not about you. That's the magic of stories. When you realize that your story isn't about you, that your story is simply a vehicle to serve people, but a story not shared doesn't serve.
Yes. Well, and I love this. And it, what's so interesting to me is for so many of us, our training, what we were really told as we were moving through school was do not share your story. Do not confess any private information. Do not reveal who you really are. Have this very distinct separation between your work and the patient and you. They're not interested in you. And it's funny because that just never intuitively felt right for me. And at first I was like, oh, I'm just like, I'm so self-centered. I just naturally inherently could really quickly find connections and commonalities between me and my patients. And I would just share those with them.
Totally.
And naturally we would just have a different rapport as a result. So I would have supervisors say to me, Megan, like you can't reveal that. You can't share that. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I'd go back to delivering that. And ever since I really dialed in on my work with practitioners, I've been saying the same thing to them. The number one story you need to break is this idea that you don't reveal who you are because you're so inaccessible at that point. And people can't heal from an entity that is inaccessible to them.
Totally. Like, and I think there's this confusion too, and I want to just speak to this with practitioners, is we think that what they're interested in is like the triumph story. We think that what they're interested in is like the story of what we can do for them and how we can help them. And they are interested in that, but that is not where connection happens. And so, like, I think it's important for practitioners to realize, like, okay, where does connection take place in the story? Where does confidence and hope? See, when you tell the story of you maybe overcoming, or you tell the story of a patient overcoming, or what you can do for them, that creates confidence and hope, which is powerful. There is no connection, though, without the story of who you are and what you've gone through and where you've come from. Like, that's where the connection happens. And if you can connect with them at that level, they'll hear your solution from a different place. They actually have the capacity to hear what you can do from them because you've connected with them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just this huge myth and this huge lie that's told. That's like, and here's another thing. I helped a naturopathic doctor recently, actually. What was so funny is she was so reluctant to share her story, and yet at the same time was struggling with finding her tribe and like who her core people were. And she had never seen this. And it, like the minute she said, I go, I know exactly why you can't find your people. She goes, why? It's like, because you're not telling anyone who you are.
I love it.
How would you ever find your people if your people don't know who you are? And she was like, oh my. So it's like your market should never create your message. Your message should always create your market. Like, you go share your authentic message and then right. let the market come that like wants to work with that message. And who doesn't, who doesn't is okay.
Right. I it's so interesting because last week we had a guest on and he was talking about how do we market and how do we share in a time of crisis? And his number one thing was just like, let all of you out. He's like, if you're this closet Comic-Con guy who just dresses up in costume every weekend, like now's the time to show up on your Instagram live and talk about COVID-19 dressed as whatever you do. That's clearly not my tribe. I don't even have the vocabulary, but I think it's super cool. But he's like, that's right. Who you should show up right now. And you're going to be stormed with those people who are like, oh my gosh, it's me. It's one of me. And so I love what you're saying because it's just in such contrast to where we've come and the story we've frankly been told about these pieces. My question for you, Chris, is how do we tell our story right now? How do we contextualize that to what the world is immersed in at the moment?
Yeah, this is what we've been given trainings on like multiple a day right now. And what's interesting is it's like, so first of all, I believe it's never been more important to share your story. Second, I believe you should be putting out more content than ever in the history of your practice, your business. And third, though, it's like really, there is a real importance to the type of story you share, maybe more now more than ever. And what I'm really encouraging a lot of our clients to do is just a starting point. Is to start by sharing pieces of their origin story or their founder story of how they got here. Because in hundreds or maybe even thousands of clients we've worked with over the years, I've never heard a founder story, an origin story. It didn't have a healthy amount of facing challenges they didn't think they could overcome, and yet they did. And what I believe the world needs to hear right now more than anything is stories of overcoming.
Right.
Because your story of overcoming will remind them that they can overcome. And so one of the things that's really cool with a large organization we just created, because they're struggling with like, so here's what I find a lot of practitioners falling into one of two camps right now, Megan, is they're just not sharing anything because they don't know what to share.
Yes.
Or they are sharing, but it's the exact same stuff everyone else is sharing, very tactical, statistical, COVID-19, and like everyone's lost in it.
Right.
So what we helped this organization create is like, what if we helped them create an 8-part, we're calling it the resiliency series. And so each week they're going to share a story about their own history or one of their values and how it relates to resiliency and overcoming. And there's nothing they're asking for in the email. The only thing they're the only call to action is, and if you need anything from us, if there's any way we can support you or your family, please reply to this email. We will read and respond to every single reply.
Amazing.
It's like the stories of resiliency, the stories of overcoming, like the stories of like who you authentically are. Like this is now an opportunity to let people into your world a little bit. So that to me is like something really tangible that everyone could actually like, yeah, I could do that. I could go share a story about a time where I faced a challenge that I didn't think I could overcome and what that felt like and the hopelessness and despair. But then I could share what I did to overcome it and what I realized about myself. Like I realized I'm strong. I realized that I can go through anything. I realized that to me is really critical. If you're going to go look at this, is not just share the story of what you didn't think you could overcome and how you did it. You also should share, in my opinion, what you realized about yourself in the process.
Yeah, I love that. There's so much self-work that can happen in this process at the same time.
Yeah, you get as much healing as like your community is going to get from the story.
Absolutely. And the thing I want to underscore as you're speaking too is that, and I know you've alluded to this, you are all writing a new story right now. Like this will become the story you are telling in a year from now and in 5 years from now and 10 years from now as you mentor new people in your industry, as you speak to new patients or you speak to new clients or whoever it happens to be, you're going to be telling the story of who you were in this moment. And that is so powerful and like reason to just pause and take a breath. Like who do you want to be right now?
Yeah, I believe entrepreneurs and families both will like literally could like will and can like cement their legacy for generations in this moment.
Yes.
Like if the world has ever served up what I've been referring to as a pick up the pen moment, like the world just served up a huge like pick up the pen opportunity to just like, are we going to pick up that pen though? And are we going to take ownership as the author of our story? And I really think that like we're in a lot of industries right now where people may not be able to vote with their dollars.
Yes.
But what they are going to vote with is their attention, their loyalty, and brand equity.
Yes.
So that when things come back, they're going to reward the people that showed up as powerful leaders. And the thing I'm encouraging people to see is like, are we going to get through this? Well, one, we're going to get through this. But when we get through this, are we going to look back and say, I'm so glad I survived that. I'm so glad I got through. Or are we going to look back and say like, look at what I created and look at how I showed up as a leader. Look at how I served.
Mm-hmm. The things we've always wished for, that more time with family and the space, and frankly, the reasons we work so hard is to be able to access those pieces. And suddenly they've landed on our laps, not packaged the way we expected, but they really have been handed to us. And so, you know, drop the old stories, drop the non-serving stories. And really, this is that pivot point in your business, but it's that pivot point in the creation and your authorship of where you're going. I totally love this, Chris. We have so much to unpack. Should we tell people what we're going to be doing later on this week?
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be amazing.
Okay, so on Friday afternoon, and this is where I wish I had written down what time, but I'm fairly confident it's 2 p.m., Chris and I are actually going to be running a masterclass on how to tangibly start to unpack some of these pieces. So how do we unpack it from a leadership perspective within your business and your own personal brand? And we're also going to get into, on that masterclass, how you actually start to create your family brand, which is one of the things I'm actually most excited about. I just ordered from Amazon 20 large canvases because I'm determined to have my house decorated by the end of this quarantine self-isolation time by my children. And it's a significant part of that is now going to be our family brand and our family story. So thank you for that. Even though you're like, I don't have canvases as part of this workshop, you do now. And we're going to go there.
That's amazing. I love that.
We're going to go there on Friday. I'm going to post the link below, but it's just meganwalker.com/campfire. And we would love for you guys to join us. Now, Chris, I want to put you through what I put everybody through when we do our interviews here at the Anthropology Podcast. And these are questions I call our KPIs, or key performance indicators. So just like we have them in our business, I believe that we have them in how we live our life as well. So if you'll indulge me, I've got a few questions coming your way.
Great. Let's do it.
First one, what's the most impactful book you've ever read?
Oh my gosh.
Entrepreneurs hate being pigeonholed into one, but.
I have to share two because they're.
Like I said.
typical entrepreneur response,
please,
right?
Please share two.
the Go-Giver, just the Go-Giver by Bob Burb, and admit to me, like, what it means to a lot of people about giving, but it was at a pivotal time where it literally shaped the course of my life. And then the second one is essentialism. This idea of being
classic.
inch wide and a mile deep, because that's what we teach as it relates to story and messaging, is to be an inch wide and a mile deep.
I love that. What is the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
Working out. I work out probably, you know, 5 or 6 days a week, depending on like what cycle I'm in. But yeah, like it's that I experience so much momentum by getting up early in the morning and working out before anyone else in my family is awake.
Totally agree with that. What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
So I grew up in a ranching rodeo family, and my rodeo days have slowed down a little bit, but I team rope. And
I don't even know what that is.
So team roping is where there's two guys that, or women for that matter, but you know, it's a team event where they rope the steer together. But, and I got to like a level of like, you know, I'm sponsored, like I'm actually pretty, I don't do it a lot anymore because I have 5 kids. I still do it some, but yeah, we have horses and we've got a little bit of land here, but I'm a legitimate like rodeo cowboy. I've competed quite a bit.
That's amazing. What do you do for fun or play?
Love to work out. That's like, I consider that like fun and play. And then we feel like we've kind of created a little paradise here in our home with like our garden and our chickens and our backyard and our property. So like the most fun play for us is literally just to go in our backyard and play as a family.
Amazing. And last question for you, entrepreneurism. Are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
Oh man.
Oh, yes. I stumped you on one. Yes.
I really believe that everyone can find that thing that they feel called to do. And I believe that everyone has that sense of entrepreneurism in them, whether that's, right. I think you can have that even working in a company or having your own business. I think the question is like, do you have the courage again, like to pick up the pen and answer the calling? Everyone has that calling. For some of us, it's buried under a lot of like guilt and shame and doubt, and but like everyone has the calling to go and that they really feel called to do. And to me, that's entrepreneurship. It is like going and owning your own business. If you have the courage to answer the calling, that to me is like someone who's free spirited enough to go like their thing.
I love this. Chris Smith from the Campfire Effect. People are going to want to know what you're up to. Where can we send them to learn a little bit more about you and the things you're doing in this world?
Yeah. So, campfireeffect.com, but probably thing I'm excited as much as anything about right now is we actually just created the Family Brand Facebook group. So if you go to Facebook and go search Family Brand, we're going to be in there every single day, especially times like right now, providing tips, resources. We're actually going to take a cohort of families through a beta test live. And so really cool stuff there for families, and then Campfire Effect for businesses.
Amazing. And on Friday afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern, that is March 27th, Chris and I are doing a masterclass together, and you can get more information and register for that by heading to meganwalker.com/campfire. Chris, thanks so much for being here. And guys, thanks so much for being on our first live broadcast of the Entrepology Podcast. Take care, everybody. The Entrepology Podcast is about leveling up your mindset, your health, and your business so you can maximize your impact in this world. To that end, we're going to begin with a new series of offerings to help you have that impact you've always dreamed of. Over on the Entrepology Podcast page, we're going to start doing live broadcasts of episodes. Sometimes these will be solo episodes, and sometimes these will be with guests. This is your opportunity to interact with us live as we are recording your favorite episodes. Adjacent to our Facebook page, we also have the Entrepology Collective, a free Facebook group with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs just like you. In the Entrepology Collective, we're going to keep you up to date on upcoming masterclasses, interact daily, as well as have new offerings like our Badass Book Club. After a two-year hiatus, we are bringing it back. Our new April and May selections are going to be announced in the coming weeks, and we would love for you to participate in all of these new virtual offerings. I believe that when people have their health, they can change the world. That is what inspired us to start this podcast in the first place, and that is what is inspiring us to keep going. I'm so appreciative of all of you. Give us a like over on Apple iTunes and come and join us in the collective. We'll see you there.